The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Come on.
Welcome to Left Blood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful David Richmond. David, are you ready to do this?
I am, George. Thank you.
Excited to have you on. David is the author of Cycle of Lives, 15 People's Stories, 5,000 Miles, and a Journey Through the Emotional Chaos of Cancer. David, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. So my personal life is involved around all the stuff that everybody else is, trying to keep as much on our plate and get as much off our plate as possible. But I do endurance athletics, which I picked up in my late 30s, actually. I was an overweight smoker, pretty unhappy, didn't really take care of myself or my own needs. I had young kids, a four-year-old twins, and it was in a horrible relationship and said, oh man, I got to get us out. And when I did, I happened to walk by a mirror where I saw my reflection and I'm like, dude, like, who are you? Yeah. And I just didn't have the answer. And so I embarked on this journey of putting down the cigarettes, starting to eat healthy and starting to do running. And then that led to doing Ironmans and 100-mile runs, 500-mile bike rides and all this crazy stuff. And then in reflection of that, at that same downtime in my life, my sister was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. And I was drawn to this idea. I'm a writer, and I was drawn to this idea when I saw what she and others were going through. Maybe not her so much. She was pretty open and able to talk, but I noticed that people were really good about talking about the tasks around their trauma, but they weren't real good about talking about the feelings. And everybody I spoke to, George, had some kind of level of, oh, I wish I would have said this, or I wish I would have the freedom to do this, or I don't know what to say, or, oh, you know, like around the emotional side of it. And so that's what drew me to write this book.
Wow. That is quite a story. So quitting smoking is no small feat. I did it years ago.
Yeah.
How long did you smoke for before you quit?
Well, we can talk in time or cigarettes, but it was about 250,000 cigarettes and about 20 years. Ooh. So yeah, it was pretty bad. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I heard 100 times, you know, you got to quit. And I told myself 100 times, you got to quit. But it was like one thing that I didn't, like inherently, I just didn't want to fail at quitting. And so I never tried to quit because I felt like, dude, if you fail at this, then it's over. I knew I had to quit, but I didn't want to quit. And I didn't want to fail at quitting, like quit, start, quit, start, quit, start. And then during that time, my sister was, going through her brain cancer. I have twins. My daughter said to me, she must have heard, you know, in kindergarten or something that smoking causes cancer, and June has cancer, so she's going to die. So you're going to die. So she said, you know, dad, we quit smoking. Hmm. And I'm like, wow, that's the first time I really heard it. And so, so then I did it. It was hard. It was, but the second I quit, I never had another cigarette.
Amazing. You know, it's fascinating to me to try to figure out why and how we as human beings decide to actually make change. And you did it in a couple of different regards, right? You quit smoking, you started eating healthy, you started exercising, and you went from being, I don't know if you were sedentary or not, sort of guessing,
oh, yeah,
that you were, to the absolute David Goggins opposite.
Yeah. I mean, not that crazy. I've done some crazy stuff. You know, I've run, you know, 25 hours straight, 4 marathons. I've done, you know, nearly a 5,000 mile solo bike ride in only 45 days. I've done some pretty crazy stuff, but, yeah. You know, one of my book participants, a guy, his story is crazy. I won't go into it right now, but he has this great way of explaining how in 1 second he was able to change almost everything about his perspective, his personality, his oneness with himself, with the world. When he met this woman and he said, it was like I put on a new pair of glasses. And it was like, oh, I mean, oh my God, right? If you just see things just the tiniest bit more in focus, things change just a little bit, it can change the world. And so for me, that little change was, you know, all of these factors that happened at that one time. And then, you know, really taking an honest look in the mirror and saying, like, who are you? Like, cause we're pretty good at fooling ourselves. Oh, you know, I'll eat better when, you know, I'll reduce my stress when life gets easier, you know, I'll be better friend when I'm not so busy at work. We're really good at fooling ourselves. And I was a master at it. And so when I just took an honest look, I just went, man, you know, you got some good stuff about you. Keep that. You got some bad stuff about you. You need to work on it.
I love it. So much powerful stuff. Keep the good, get rid of the bad.
Yeah. So, sorry to interrupt you, George. I'm just saying, like if you are able to take an honest look at yourself and go, you know, like, look, man, you're kind of wasting your potential. You're wasting who you want to become or who you could become. Then for me, I'm sure this might resonate with people. I needed to like forgive myself and free my mind a little bit because I've run into times in my life. I certainly have seen others run into a time in their life where they come to the realization about who they are and where they're at in life. And that's the point that they give up trying to change because it's already too late. They already feel guilty. They're burdened by their past. They got a chip on their shoulder. They already know the outcome or whatever the reason is. And I just said, dude, just forgive yourself for not being who you want it to be, where you want to be. You don't even know. Just go figure it out, find out, but do it with a free mind. And that was the key for me. It was like those two things. Like being super honest and authentic with myself and then saying, okay, just like, it's okay. You know, move on. You're good now. You could go start again.
That is powerful, David. How does that tie? It strikes me that there's a tie in there when you were talking about focusing on tasks versus actually addressing the feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. And for a guy who, and a lot of guys are like this, most people are like this, I think. I wrote a different book about it that we grow up going, okay, I got to be XYZ to make my parents happy or my teacher, or I got to do this so my boss will hire me or give me a promotion, or we do all these things for other people, right? So we're really good, especially if you're a pleaser, especially if you're like wanting to fix things and, you know, in my case, everything about myself, right? You're really good at the tasks, right? But when do we just step back and look in the mirror? And looking in the mirror is oftentimes, I'm using that as an analogy now, but like when I have a heartfelt, meaningful conversation with you, with somebody close to me, that's kind of like settling down, looking in the mirror, being real, interacting in a positive way, right? Like nothing's off the table. There's no BS involved. Like, let's just be real. And that's hard to do. It's really, really hard to do, you know, and that's where you start to deal with feelings.
It requires immense courage by you as an individual to do that. And then also I imagine, and it does to make yourself vulnerable and, I guess maybe that's the term, to engage in that conversation with somebody else. And like going back to your sister, being able to, I don't know why I'm trying to put words in your mouth.
Yeah. No. Listen, you're absolutely right. And the thing is there's this concept of Sonder. I don't know if you're familiar with the word Sonder. I wasn't for most of my life, but Sonder is this thought that we are all just passerbyers in each other's lives.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Which is unbelievably fascinating, right? Because, man, would I beat myself up for disappointing someone or thinking that somebody didn't think good of me, right? Boy, did I beat myself up. But I could care less what I thought about me. And so when you do connect in a way that says, I'm going to be authentic, it really only matters who I am, because, George, we're just passerbyers, right? You and your listeners, you and me, most of the people we run into in our lives, it's your life, you're living it. I'm not living it. And that's really, I just learned that also through writing the book about cancer, right? Is that people don't want sympathy. They don't want to hear that you're sorry, because it's not your life, man. You didn't have anything to do with them losing their grandma or them going through a difficult time at work. That's not, you have nothing to do with it. Don't be sorry about it. Just, and don't feel bad for them. Right. Just empathize with them, connect with them. And that's hard. It's so hard to do, but it's so, like I said earlier, like if you could just focus on that one thing, you know, like that honest, authentic connection with yourself, with other people, it's a hard place to go to, but once you do, man, it's an easy place to refine every minute, you know?
I love it. We do care a lot about what other people think of us, even though we may never interact with them ever again. And we care so little about ourselves and taking care of ourselves. And I wrote down that you've got to run your own race, and that there's wordplay there, because you run 5,000 miles or whatever.
Yeah.
Focus on that.
Yeah, that was so popular. Let me tell you a super quick story. Okay. My very first half Ironman that I was going to do, I was still overweight. Obviously, I quit smoking. I got to the point where I thought I could do a half Ironman, which is, for anybody listening, a 1.2-mile swim, 56-mile bike, and then a half marathon. And I had never done any of those distances on my own individually, right? And I go up there, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm this endurance athlete and whatever, and I'm working on myself. And I get to the race, and at the start, they're doing a wave start. And it's like the 35 to 39 year old men or something are doing the wave start. And every single one of them looks like a Greek god. And I'm like, what the hell am I even doing here? Like, these guys are athletes, man. I mean, look at me. What the hell? I'm getting out of here. And I don't belong in this group. Right. And all of a sudden the gun goes off and one dude falls on his back and he starts doggy paddling backwards. And another guy starts swimming in circles, and another guy swims to the edge of the river and kind of like catches his breath. And I'm like, oh man, I could swim better than those guys. Like they don't seem to care like that anybody's watching them. Cause if they did, man, they would not be out here. Right.
Yeah.
Who swims on their back on doggy paddle at a half Ironman, especially when they look like a Greek god? And then it hit me like, dude, run your own race. Like, you're here for you. Nobody's paying you, right? Nobody cares. Nobody's watching. Just do what you do. Run your race. I love that saying that you just gave us. So I was just like, who cares, man? Nobody's watching. Nobody cares. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Run your own race.
And it strikes me, I was just thinking about that this morning. I was thinking about how probably a lot of the most successful people, it was in the context of somebody who moved here from another country that does not enjoy the same freedoms as ours. And immediately they recognized the opportunity and they started taking advantage of it. And I thought, you know, this person doesn't care what anybody thinks. They are seizing the opportunity and pursuing the life that they want versus, you know, me, I'm guilty of, oh, geez, I wonder what that person thinks about me. And if I do this, geez, what, you know, what will people's perceptions be? It's like, what a waste of time.
It's a waste of time. And there's a fine line, right, between being self-aware and being self-caring and maybe being selfish or self-centered. You know, like, as long as you're doing things ethically, as long as you have intention, and I know that doesn't resonate with everybody, because if you do something bad and you explain it away as, well, I didn't intend to do that, well, okay, that's bullshit. But if you do things with good intention and you do things from a heart-centered, authentic, you know, above the line kind of, you know, origination point, then doing it for yourself is great. Like, I used to tell my kids, they're like, oh, all of our friends come over and you cook us dinner. You don't have to do that. And I go, yeah, you're right. I don't have to. I get to do it. Like, it's not a have to. Like, I'm doing it for me. I know that you like it, but I'm doing it because it's what I like. And so that's the kind of self-care, you know, I do. And I still am guilty. Who's not? Of wondering, like, what's that person think or what's that person think? But where I used to have that as the only part in the equation, maybe that's less of a factor, and more of a factor is, what do I think? And it's a really wonderful place to be, because then you can learn, you know, you can learn about yourself and what you're doing and where you belong in the world. And honestly, I mean, George, if we are just passerbyers in everybody's life, why the heck do we care what anybody thinks?
Right.
Tell you what, Michael Jordan doesn't care what people think.
No.
You know, Oprah Winfrey doesn't. Elon Musk doesn't. They could care less what anybody thinks. Why? Because they're just living their lives, man. They're 100% tuned into what they want, which is great because they do a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. Made me think, as you were talking about the process of quitting smoking, and you were reticent, nervous, afraid to do it because you didn't want to fail at it. Mm-hmm. And so I know that when I recognize I'm concerned about what other people think about me, I don't beat myself up and say, you know, geez, I just need to go from caring about what other people think to no longer caring. And if right. I find myself doing it, then I'm going to beat myself up because I'm not perfect. And imagine it's like everything else that we've been talking about. You just need to start doing it and you'll get better at it.
You do. I mean, look, when I first, the very first run that I went on, George, was I wanted to learn how to run. So I actually hired a running coach and I said, hey, let's go for a run. He goes, yeah, meet me at you know, on the Strand in Santa Monica. We'll go for a mile run and I'll check out, you know, your gait and see how you do. I couldn't run 2 minutes at a 12 minute pace. I literally stopped and I sat on the curb. Like, he goes, wow. He goes, wow. Are you out of shape? And I'm like, yeah, I couldn't. I mean, I couldn't run 2 minutes. But then you learn, right? Then I ran 2 minutes, and then I ran 4 minutes, and then I ran a mile. And then a few weeks later, I ran 3 miles, and you just figure it out. Now, when I go out for like a 4 or 5 mile run, I'm like, oh, you barely went for a run. And all of a sudden, like, just, you know, how many years ago, I couldn't run 2 minutes. And now I can run 50 miles. It's like, but it takes time, right? And it's that same thing. Like, I didn't all of a sudden go, you know, I'm a Mr. Fixer, wannabe fixer, you know, care about what everybody thinks, to the next day going, I don't care what anybody thinks. It's not that easy, but that self-talk helps. That true, authentic look in the mirror, honest with yourself, self-talk really, really helps you kind of bridge the gap between there and here a little bit faster, because, you know, it's hard to lie to yourself when you're looking in the mirror and saying, whoa, dude, what's up? You know?
Love it. Well, you've already given us a bunch, David, but people are ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have?
Can I tell it to you in a super quick story?
Of course.
So I did this 87-mile rollerblade race. Imagine that, George, on a rollerblade, especially a guy that's not very coordinated. It went from Athens, Georgia to Atlanta, Georgia. And I had no business being out there. It was ridiculous. And it was so hard. And about 30 miles in, and this is kind of at the very beginning of my journey into endurance athletics. And about 30 miles in, I'm hitting the wall. My legs are done. I'm totally dehydrated. I'm 100% toast. I'm in uncharted waters. I've never been anywhere near as far down the road of pushing myself ever, nowhere near physically in my life. And I stop and I lean over and I'm like, I turn myself, you know, parallel or perpendicular to the hill, because otherwise I'd slide back down. And I look and there's the sag wagon, you know, the wagon that picks up the stragglers that aren't going to make it to the finish line. And I go, man, I don't want to do that, because if I don't go any further, I'm going to know what my limit is. I'm going to know everything about myself. And I said, man, please, you got to figure something out. And I see this line on the ground that's from my sweat. And I go, well, if you could just cross a line, you're going to be in new territory. Like, you're going to learn something. And then if you could do another step, you're going to learn something and another step. So it's not really about like accomplishing your goal. It's about learning. And I said, wow, man. All right. So if I don't make it, that's cool. But at every step I take, I'm going to learn something. And so I just, I used that to power me that day. And I figured out a way to get to the finish line about 6.5 hours later. And I was complete toast at the end. That's an understatement. I got sick. It was horrible, but at least I learned all this stuff. So every time that I run into a difficulty along whatever stretch, work, personal life, you know, professional life, writing, you know, writer's block, an athletic event, whatever, and I hit the roof, I'm like, I'm done. I go, man, can you figure out what you can learn if you could just go a little bit harder? And sometimes you can't, but you learn that too. But you just go, And so before I used to say, I got to accomplish this, which is a different driver than I want to learn. I want to seek. I want to find stuff out. I want to learn rather than I need to get somewhere. And so, I don't know, that'd be my tip. That's what I use. I use that visual in my head of, you know, just figure out a way to take one more step, you know? So that's my little driver.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a, come on. I think that's incredible. And it's so true. Just take that next step. If I get over this little line of sweat, that is maybe the last sweat inside my body. If I can get over that.
I might have been. Yeah. And you know, sometimes you got to give up, right? Sometimes you hit you got to know when to quit, but also maybe, especially if you're doing things for yourself, we can quit on ourselves a little too easy. And it's been a wonderful learning journey for sure.
These stories that are in our heads, and whether they're true or we're just telling them ourselves and they're absolutely not true, but that you're feeling like you're going to be a failure if you didn't make smoking. And, you know, if I stop this rollerblade race right now, it's going to be the story of my rest of my life, because I know this, that's it. I mean, and it could have been, they both could have been true, because you pushed past both of them, but it's fascinating what we do between our ears.
Yeah, it really is. And And the crazy thing is it doesn't have to be whatever way it is, right?
Right.
It could be whatever way you want it to be, but man, we're just not wired to know that. At least I wasn't smart enough to know that. And I'm sure there's plenty of people that are going, who doesn't know this stuff, right? But I didn't know it, right? So I'm glad I found out, even if it was a little later in life.
No, I think it's so valuable just to hear people talking about it. So, because we don't know unless we engage and explore these things. So I appreciate you being the person that you are, and sharing and writing and expressing yourself and keep taking those next steps. So,
sure.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Dave. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Oh, well, thank you for that. The latest book, this Cycle of Lives, all the proceeds go to the cancer organizations that were chosen by the 15 book participants. So great cancer organizations around the country. They're listed in the book, listed on my website. I do expressive writing workshops for cancer organizations and other trauma organizations to try to help people deal with their emotional self-talk and deal with that issue we just finished up on, which is what's, you know, in between our ears. And they can find the book wherever books are sold. The Audible just came out, which is awesome. I had 15 different actors each do one of the 15 people in the story. So wherever books are sold, it's Cycle of Lives, and you can find me, David Richman, all over that thing called the internet. And if you're interested, they're very inspiring, uplifting, evocative stories that we can all learn from. And I think if you read it, you'll learn from the people who were so courageous in telling their story, and with the hopes of empowering people like you and I to have the tools to start really hard conversations. And so if that rings a bell with you, then, you know, go buy the book and know that the proceeds are going to help people going through a struggle.
Well said. If you enjoyed as much as I did, show David your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Pick up a copy of Cycle of Lives wherever you buy your books, and find David on social media and all over the internet. I'll list all those places in the notes of the show. Thanks again, David.
You're welcome, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, as we are all in this together.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.